Let's pray.
Lord, thank you for tonight. And just thank you for everyone that's here. Lord, that you would just speak to our hearts tonight as we continue on having a conversation about prayer. And we're just so thankful for that gift of prayer that we could come into your throne of grace and fellowship with you, interact with you. And it's awesome, God. Thank you so much for that. Thank you, Jesus, for making that available, Lord, at the cross. So we thank you for being an active part of tonight. And just speak to our hearts and, Lord, challenge us where we're at with our prayer life. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so last month, wow, a whole month. Last month, we started to get into the topic of prayer. I have the first Sunday of the month, Sunday night. So we'll just keep going through, building on, you know, what we did the month before. So last month, we talked about prayer being the ultimate conversation. And I think we had a little interaction with that, you know, what it meant to us. You know, to think that you can have a conversation with the creator of the universe. You know, sometimes I'm not aware of that all the time. Like I was praying this morning, you know, but it's because, you know, it's just what we do, right? We get up, we pray throughout the day, we pray, you know, things come up, we pray. But I think in the context of us talking about it last month, we wanted to be more aware of who we were speaking with and the opportunity to be able to have that freedom to go before him and pray. So we talked about three principles. The first one is God desires to communicate with us. That's another one that kind of blows your mind, right? God wants to communicate with you. Wants to communicate with us. It's pretty cool, right? 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. God wants us to seek him. That's his desire, for us to seek him. The second principle is prayer is rooted in a personal relationship with God. So I think we all fit the bill here. We're all saved. We're born again. But that's important. You know, how do we enter into a relationship with the Father? It's simple. It begins with Jesus Christ, right? It's in Christ. Romans 5 verses 1 and 2 tell us, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. The third principle we talked about is the ultimate conversation is just not about talking to God. To truly have that interaction, we must listen as well. Listening. You know, I'm not sure, the older I get, the less I remember. But I think we talked about this last month a little bit. A lot of times we'll pray, and when we're done praying, getting our request in, you know, and then, you know, it's like, oh, gotta go. You know, do we make time to listen? Do we make time to just wait on the Lord? Or are we just, you know, giving him our shopping list or our requests, and then we're out the door? So if, and I'm guilty of that. Thankfully, not all the time, but I, you know, there's times where, you know, I'm running late. And, you know, I pray and I'm out the door. You know, but it's, hey, you know, when you're made aware of that, you just kind of readjust, get up a little earlier, And just make sure you're allotting that time to hear what God has to say. So, do you yearn, tonight, do you yearn for an active, meaningful, ongoing conversation with the Lord? You know, these are just kind of things to think about as you're sitting there. I mean, personally, I hope so. I hope that's all of our hearts, that we would desire to have an active, meaningful, ongoing conversation with the Lord. I mean, it's exciting to see, when you do this, you actually have the opportunity to see God involved in your day. When you're focused on Him and you're asking Him to, you know, you're just kind of, hey, Lord, this is coming up, or I'm doing this. You know, just invite Him into your life. Have a conversation with Him. A daily, you know, you can converse with Him all day long. I know some people, you know, can, after a while, you know, you want to talk to somebody different, but you know what? The Lord just wants to hear from us, wants to fellowship with us. So I'm going to look at four questions tonight, and hopefully we'll get them all done. The first one is, who am I speaking to? Pretty important to acknowledge and understand in your heart, who are you talking to? Can I truly trust God? Now, some of these are going to sit there thinking, what do you mean? Can we truly trust God? Well, when we get into that, we're going to see, because sometimes, you know, we think we do, but sometimes we're not that sure about our confidence that God can handle something. Does the Father really have the ability to help me? Does God have the ability to help? And the last one, is the Lord genuinely willing to listen to me and come to my aid? So, interesting questions, but pretty relevant for us tonight. So, who am I speaking to? Your perception of God will characterize your prayer life. How you perceive God will definitely characterize your prayer life. So, what makes prayer so powerful and impactful, and why is it the ultimate conversation? Well, the last half of that's simple. It's the ultimate conversation because of who we're having it with, the creator of the universe, God Almighty. I mean, that makes it a pretty ultimate type of a conversation. We need to understand one thing, that it's not prayer itself that holds the power. It's the God to whom we pray. All right, it's God. It's God, the God who we pray to. So let me ask you a couple more questions. And, you know, basically this is just to get you guys thinking. Just to get you thinking. What do you think God is like? What characteristics do you associate with Him? And do you believe the Father is big enough, sufficiently powerful, wise, and loving to handle all the challenges you bring to Him? Are you absolutely confident that He can help you, and that not only that He can help you, but will He? Will He? How you view God has an immense ramifications for both your prayer life and your relationship with Him. So let me say it again. It's not prayer itself that holds the power. It is in the God to whom we pray. So I found this story, kind of give you a little bit of an example of what I'm saying. So it's an account about a man who had turned his back on God. He lived according to his own lust and desires, his life filled with immoral behavior and addictions. Eventually, he became seriously ill. A friend tried to minister to him, but the man would not acknowledge that there could be an authority higher than his own will. Seeing the man without hope and deteriorating in health quickly, His friend suggested that he pray about his troubles. The man relented, deciding he would do so as a last resort. However, he confided, "I'm not sure who is on the other end of the line when I pray." "Well, God is," his friend replied, hoping it would comfort him. "Oh no," this man exclaimed, "it can't possibly be God." "Really?" his friend asked, taken back. "Well, then to whom do you think you would be praying?" "I'd probably just be talking to myself," the man replied cynically. Then he added, "Like that is going to do me any good. If I knew how to make myself well, I wouldn't need to talk to myself about it." So that's kind of heartbreaking, right? This man had lived life as if he were the ultimate authority and that his opinions were the most important. Yet, when he truly needed help, he couldn't save himself, right? He couldn't overcome his self-focused perspective. So here's the point. He limited himself to his own resources and faults rather than trusting the one who is all-knowing, all-powerful, ever-present, and completely loving. He relied on his own strength and really turned his back on really the only hope that he had. Now, the reason why I shared this is because, sadly, we may be guilty of the same thing. Although we acknowledge that God exists and praise him for his attributes, there are times when we try to resolve difficulties ourselves rather than taking them to him. Ever catch yourself doing that? Trying to figure something out and just leaving the Lord out of the equation? It's not a good thing, right? I mean, he's the one with all the smarts, right? He's the one with all the wisdom. He's the one that has the answer. And, you know, I've definitely been there myself. Definitely been there. There are times when we try to resolve difficulties ourselves rather than asking them to him or giving them to him. The great problem solver. That's what God does. When we pray, do we have our own limitations in mind? To whom are we praying? Think about that. You know, do we have limitations in our mind even when we pray? From our narrow earthbound points of view, perhaps we see no hope in our situation, no solution to our dilemmas, and no end to our suffering. You know, and that happens to all of us, where the situation just seems to get too big, and really you lose sight, you lose hope, right? You start thinking, you know, is there any hope? So when we go before God, do we come dejected and doubting, questioning his goodness for allowing us to endure trials? Do we wonder why? You know, why is this, God? Why are you allowing this? If so, we're like the man in the story, talking to ourselves about circumstances that we can't change. But instead, when we approach God, we must embrace the fact that we are conversing and interacting with the Almighty, our Lord, our Redeemer, right? That's the mindset we need to have. After all, trusting God means looking beyond what we can see to what he sees and can accomplish. And we're going to get into that, and, you know, it's going to be like preaching to the choir. I mean, God is limitless. God is limitless. He has resources that we have no idea. There's nothing that God cannot do. And that's got to be our mindset as we pray, as we seek him. There is absolutely nothing too challenging for God to overcome. Now, you guys know that, right? Right? Doug, do you know that? Yes, brother. All right. Yeah, we know that, right? But sometimes when we go before the Lord, it's almost like we forget that. You know, God, and this is really, you know, but God, there's no limitation we're challenged because of the finiteness of our minds and our ability, but God's not. You know, we just need to know that. We need to understand that. We can know this because we know who God is. To whom do we pray? We know God, right? We have his word. We know to whom we're praying. He is, I am who I am. I am who I am. The truth is we can know God. We can know God because there's no variance in him. He doesn't change, right? It's nice to know that we can go to God because we know he's consistent. He never changes. You know, we have his word, and, you know, God, I mean, that's how we understand God's character. He doesn't change. God doesn't change. That's so important for us. He never changes. He's been consistent, unwavering, and absolutely faithful throughout history. Throughout history. Hebrews 13:8 reminds us that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. His character doesn't differ in his dealings from one person to another. I found that pretty interesting. His dealings, they don't change. They don't differ from one person to another or from one era to the next. It's the same God that was in Genesis that we experience today. God doesn't change. He's no respecter of persons. You know, so, and I know through my my walk with the Lord since I've been saved, I know there were times when I thought that God would answer the pastor's prayers more than mine because he's the pastor. Or the guy next to me who's been saved longer. You know, we get these things in our head. But God's no respecter of persons. God deals with everybody equally. You know, and we have his word to validate that. He is the one perfect, unfaltering standard of goodness, holiness, justice, and loving kindness. That's the God that we pray to. That's our God. Moses is a good example. God demonstrated this in an incredible way during his encounter with Moses at the burning bush. So he called a shepherd, Moses, to deliver Israel from Egypt's bondage, a task far greater than the resources that Moses had. Abundantly more difficult than anything Moses ever tried to do in his life up to this point. So what's the Lord do? He comforts Moses by revealing his identity to him. Right? Moses knew who he was praying to. In Exodus 3, in verse 6, it says, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. So everything that God did for Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, he would also do for Moses. He's giving him that assurance, right? Although the statement was powerful, it wasn't enough for Moses, though, because he was facing a task that would cause any of us to tremble and to doubt, right? Think about it. Delivering Israel put Moses not only at odds with Pharaoh, but the entire Egyptian army. Moses had no forces of his own, just him, Aaron, and the children of Israel, right? And they were all slaves, pretty much. Try to put yourselves in Moses' spot. You know, that you're going to deliver this nation. He's got to deal with Pharaoh and the Egyptian army, and he's still not sure that at one point through this whole process, that Israel would even believe him and go with him. So Moses asked, Behold, I'm going, and this is in Exodus 3:13, Behold, I'm going to the sons of Israel, and I will say to them, The God of our fathers has sent me to you. Now they may say to me, What is his name? What shall I say to them? So the Lord graciously replied in a way that would be unmistakable to Moses. He said, I am who I am. Thou shalt say to the sons of Israel, I am, has sent me to you. Now, unfortunately, the English language sometimes fails to capture the power of God's word, right? We read that the Lord says, I am who I am, but the Hebrew carries a deeper, more timeless meaning, and I thought this was pretty cool. It can be translated as, I will always be who I have always been. Pretty powerful, indicating that God will forever be who he has been from eternity. The God to whom we pray never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And when we read about some of the exploits in the Old Testament and even in the New Testament as the church is coming together, God is the same. God is the same. He's there. I mean, it's sometimes I think about it and it's just kind of mind-boggling that we could communicate with the Lord. So God was telling Moses that he, the creator who formed the heavens, the earth, the stars, the sky, and all that exists, would use his unfathomable power to help him succeed. And that's what God wants to do in our lives. God wants to work in our lives just like we've seen him work in all of these folks, that these people of faith that we read about in the Bible. God wants to work in your life that way. Do you guys believe that? I mean, sometimes it's hard to wrap your mind around that whole thing. But just to know, it's so liberating. You know, in a world where there's so much confusion, we serve a God who is not confused and has the answers to sort, you know, we have the answers to sort everything that's going on in the world. It's that we just need to, we need to wear out that path into that throne room of grace. You know, we got to stop thinking that we could figure things out and just pray and just seek God for the answers. And sometimes it's just, hey, we have the word of God. You see things happening today that just are blatantly wrong because it's so clear in the word that they are. But just want to encourage you guys. If somebody's cloth. I want to encourage you guys that we have, I'm trying to figure out a way to say it, but you know, we have a resource that is limitless. You know, there was a game show that was on TV, and you could, if you had problems solving a question, you could call somebody. You know, but think about that. You're living your life, and something comes up, and, oh, you can call a friend. I mean, that friend is Jesus. That friend's God. You know, you need to sort something out. Who would you want to go to? You want to go to the one that has all the answers, right? And it says that if come to me, right? He's encouraging us to come to him. It's amazing. It's amazing to just try to even comprehend that. But let that sink in. God will forever be who he has been from eternity, right? The living Lord who molded mankind from the dust of the earth would skillfully design a way for Moses to triumph against Pharaoh and his army. And he did. The God who cleansed the world with a flood and yet kept his servant Noah safe would grant Moses life regardless of the dangers. The covenant keeper who miraculously created the nation of Israel from 100-year-old Abraham's offspring and would not fail in delivering his people from Egypt's bondage. And the last one is the great deliverer who never abandoned Joseph but raised him up so Israel could be saved, would be with Moses and accomplish even greater feats through him. God is faithful. God is there and desires for us to come to him, the God to whom we pray. So the good news, the best news ever, is that God, the God who helped Moses, I think there's a song, the best news ever, right? The best news ever. Who sings that? All right, I'll think about it as I'm doing this. Their name is right in the front of my mind, but I don't have it. Well, the best news ever is that God, who helped Moses and who has actively delivered the people throughout history, is available for us today. You know, we don't have to read through the Bible and say, oh man, I wish God would do that for me. Or, you know, God will deliver you. God will get us through situations. You know, that's what this is all there for, so we can believe that. This is how you can be certain of his character, his attributes, and love for you. He hasn't changed, and he never will. Because we know his nature is both eternal and consistent, we can answer some of the other questions that arise when we consider having a conversation with God. So who am I speaking to? That was the first one. The second one is, can I truly trust God? Well, what's your answer? Can you truly trust God? Yeah, we can. Right? Proverbs is one of my favorite books. There's a bunch of them. But Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6, and you know, instruct us to trust in the Lord with your whole heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. And then something that, and along those lines, in Psalm 37, verses 3 through 5, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit, or roll off onto, that word commit, your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. So the question is, what makes God trustworthy? Why should you and I place our faith in his character? Give that some thought for a second. Well, the answer is, you and I can count on the Lord because his steadfast holiness and undeniable integrity. You know, God has never changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. God is not a man that he should lie, Numbers 23:19, nor a son of man that he should repent. As he said, and will he do it? Or has spoken, and will he not make it good? Psalm 22, verses 3 through 5. But you are holy, enthroned in the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted you. They trusted, and you delivered them. They cried to you and were delivered. They trusted in you and were not ashamed. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You know, this is so applicable in our lives. People in your life may disappoint you. And I'm sure that, looking around the room, we're all old enough where we've lived long enough to where we have been disappointed by people. That's for sure. But we can be certain that God will never disappoint us. Never. Hebrews 6:18 says, it is impossible for God to lie. It is impossible for God to lie. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. I'm going to keep saying that because he is. The things that we have read about in the Word, that we've experienced in our relationship with the Lord, verifies that. When the Father says he cares for you, it's not a trick. It's not. Now, the enemy might try to get in your head and tell you that that's not true because of maybe what you've done or maybe something that you're doing that you shouldn't be doing. But God's heart for you doesn't change, right? It's an absolute truth. He will never lead you astray, but always be honorable and guide you in the best way possible. Yes, we can trust God. The God who helped Moses and who has actively delivered his people throughout history is available to us today. So yes, you can trust the Lord's wonderful character. We can trust God. We can put our confidence in God. When we pray, we can know without a shadow of a doubt that God hears, that God wants to be a part of our lives in that way, a very personal way. All right. The third question, does the Father really have the ability to help me? I don't think anybody in this here doubts that, right? That God doesn't have the ability. I think we all know that God has the ability. And I was thinking about that. He holds everything, the universe, in his hand, the palm of his hand. God has the ability to help us. Sometimes in our humanness or just our old nature, we feel like, well, Lord, I got this one. I can handle this. And maybe you can. But you know what? It's just not a good habit to get into. You know what? Even the simple things, the things that are like no-brainers, just bring it to the Lord. What are you having for breakfast today, right? I know sometimes I really say things that are kind of off the wall like that. But the point I'm trying to make is that, if you get in the habit of making God a part of everything that you do, it lessens the chances of you thinking that you can do something without him. He wants to be our best friend. He wants to be involved in everything that we do. And prayer is that link. Prayer is that line of communication. So God wants to help. He has the ability to help. God never failed to keep his word. Not ever. And he never will. Solomon testifies to that as he blesses the assembly in Israel in 1 Kings 8, and in verse 56, it says, "Blessed be the Lord who has given rest to his people Israel according to all that he promised. There has not failed one word of all his good promise, which he promised through his servant Moses." God is absolutely capable, wise, strong, and loving of fulfilling your needs, no matter how overwhelming they may seem. I know that's a pretty bold statement, but it's true. It's true, and I think that we've all kind of been tested in that area where we've faced things that seemed almost impossible. Like, God, how are you gonna work this out? But he does. He's faithful. He's faithful. God is going to stand behind his word. God is sovereign. He's the ruler of all creation. He set the laws of nature in place. Think about that. Matter, space, and time are in his hand and under his authority. So he's got everything in control. Anything that we face, God is capable to meet that. He's capable to meet that. In Psalm 103, verse 19, it says, "The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his sovereignty rules over all." God rules over everything. God has control over everything. And he definitely wants to do that in our lives. So God is absolutely capable of fulfilling our needs no matter how overwhelming they may seem. So what this means for your situation is that God is omnipotent, right? He's all powerful. He's all powerful. He can literally move heaven and earth to accomplish his will for you because he put them in place and guides their every movement. Before you go to bed tonight, I don't want to read the whole psalm, but read Psalm 104. It's just good. It's good nighttime reading, right? It's good stuff. Another thing is the Lord is omniscient, right? Which signifies that he's all-knowing and completely wise. So if he's all-powerful and he knows everything and is completely wise, he sees our past, our present, our future, and understands everything about our situation. God knows every single detail. He knows details we don't know. That should just, that's encouraging for us when we go to pray. Because it's, you know, we're going to a God who is all-powerful, all-knowing, who is in control of everything. He's sovereign. You know, there is nothing, absolutely nothing that we experience in our relationship with the Lord or that we experience on this planet that God can't do something about it. He's in control. He's in control. You know, and you know, unfortunately, we live in a world where politicians think that they're in control. And people, you know, but they're not. Even though it seems like it, and, you know, in some practical ways, they are. But you know what? Ultimately, God is in control. And they don't know it, but God, you know, God's plan is going forward, you know, and they're not going to prevent it from happening. But, you know, we need to take our eyes off of current events and some of the politics that are going on and focus more on the Lord and your relationship with him. And I'm not saying, hey, you know what, we should be aware of what's going on in the, you know, in our communities and in the world. We, you know, current events, I'm not saying that we shouldn't know anything about that. Be informed. But when it comes down to it, just remember and understand that even though this is happening, he's in charge. And there's, you know, it's all part of his plan. And, you know, I'm not omniscient, so I don't know what the end result is going to be. But well, I do in that respect. But he's in control. So when I see things or hear things, my mind just automatically just goes back to, well, God's in control. God is also omnipresent. He's outside of time. And he's everywhere at once. That's pretty cool. Everywhere at once. Any of us can do that? Can we be everywhere at once? No. But he is. He's that ever-present help. He's there. When you're praying, just know that. He's all-powerful. He's all-knowing. He's ever-present. That's our God. That's the God to whom we're praying. And he does care. We can trust him. You know, it's just understanding that. In Joshua 1:9, in reference to the omnipresent, it says, Have I not commanded you, be strong and of a good courage? Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Wherever you go, he's with you. It doesn't make a difference. He's with you. He's that ever-present help, that all-powerful God. He's with us. You know, that's good stuff. It's good stuff. You don't see stuff like this on TV, right? You know, we watch a program that we like, but man, this stuff is good stuff. There should be a channel strictly with movies of God doing miracles and people getting saved. They probably do it. They probably have some channels like that, right? Are they making movies like that? I hope so. There's some at, I know some have been at the show that have been pretty good, pretty Christ-centered. Okay, so nothing in our life escapes God's notice. Nothing. He's able to rally resources and influence circumstances that we don't even know exist in order to solve the problems we're facing, regardless of what they are. Pastor Rob read this verse this morning in Luke 1, verse 37. For with God, nothing will be impossible. Nothing. Nothing. Not one thing. So, you know, what if you think that you're in a unique situation that nobody's ever faced before and this is something new for God? Nope. Nope. Believe me, God can handle it. No matter how deep, wide, piercing, mighty, complicated, overwhelming the trials we face, the living Lord is creator and can lead us to victory in them. In John chapter 16 and verse 33, it says, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." So again, the response is yes. The Father is really able to help you. All right, last one. We're gonna make it. Is the Lord genuinely willing to listen to me and come to my aid? So here's the question many of us struggle to answer. Although we may accept that God is trustworthy and capable of delivering us from our troubles, we are not quite certain that he's willing to do so. So these doubts often stem from a feeling of inadequacy. We doubt that we're worthy of his love and presence. Ever been there? Thinking, oh man, I don't even think I can take this to the Lord. Or you just feel, you don't pray because you feel, you know, you're just inadequate. You know, don't feel that way. Don't feel that way. First of all, we need to understand that the Lord accepts us based on Christ's death on the cross. Right? Not because of what we've done or have failed to do. Right? It's not about us. God sees us through Christ. In Ephesians 2, verses 8 through 9, they're very familiar verses. For by grace you have been saved through faith and not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. You know, we talked about last month, and we talked about it in that, I think it was the second principle from last month, that we can have a relationship with the Father only through salvation, that Jesus provides. Once we trust Christ as our Savior, we are always able to approach that throne of grace. And if you're saved, that's been settled, right? In Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 through 16, it says, "Seeing then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." In Jude, verse 24 of Jude, it says, "Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy." Guys, we don't have to feel shame or unworthiness before God. Jesus took care of that shame at the cross. Okay, the second point. Understand that as well as being omnipotent, omniscient, and omnipresent, the Father is also omnibenevolent. Right, which means he is unconditional and perfect in his love for us. The Lord's love isn't based on what we do. It's based on his own unfailing character. 1 John 4, 8 through 10. "He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifest toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. And this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation of our sins. So this means the Father is completely kind and compassionate toward us because he cannot be otherwise. Right? Everything he does is motivated by his care for us and is ultimately meant to bring us joy and fulfillment. There's no need to wonder if the Lord is willing to help us. He is. He is, he is, he is. So question, why is my view of God so critical to my prayer life? Why is how we see him so important in our prayer life? Well, the first thing, our opinion of the Lord influences our attitude in talking to him. If you have a low view of the Father, thinking he's not actively engaged in your life, or that he is in some way cruel, then you won't want to interact with him. Of course, we know that's not God's heart, right? No one wants to spend time with people who are indifferent or mean. Well, of course, we know that God's not, right? But our opinion of the Lord does influence our attitude in talking to him. However, if you love and respect him as God Almighty, realizing the great privilege we have in being able to converse with him, then we will want to approach his throne with humility and expectancy. And I know that's your hearts, right? You just want to approach God just knowing who he is and to have that conversation with him and to know that is available to us. We're motivated to hear those we value highly. And like I said, you know, if you have a problem answering a question, you can call a friend. You got to make that call, and we have a friend that sticks closer than a brother, Jesus Christ. So that same is true of our relationship with God. We value him highly, and he values us so much that he gave his only begotten Son to die for us. God loves us. He wants to be a part of our lives, and our communication, our conversation with him is through prayer, that fellowshipping with him. So the second point, our view of the Lord affects the nature of our prayers. Have you ever examined the substance of your conversation with God? You ever thought about that? What we express during our time alone with the Lord will tell us a great deal about what we think of him. It will also explain our enthusiasm or reluctance to enter into his presence. Are we going to the Lord to know and worship him? Or do we list all the things we would like him to do? You know, what's our relationship like with him? Is it to be in his presence and just hang with him? To worship him, to get to know him? Or is it like I said earlier? You know, we give him our list and then we're done. You know, it's certainly don't want a relationship like that. Are we seeking his will because we know his ways are best? Or do we bring him our plans, hoping he will bless them? I got busted on that one. Just think, you know, and it's, you know, it happens. You know, I prayed, you know, we were praying about something this morning. And, you know, I just said, Lord, well, you know, can you bless this? Right? And it's like, all right, well, you know, it's, usually it's, Lord, if this is your will, that would be great. But You know, but we catch ourselves, you know, and if you've been saved long enough, I think that some of this stuff is stuff that you've experienced in your prayer life. Are our prayers self-centered or God-centered? You know, just things to think about your prayer life, your time with the Lord. And they're good, they're healthy things. These aren't like kind of questions that say, you know, they gotcha, you know, or, you know, you're busted. No, it's not, it's not about that. It's just examining, you know, our interaction with God, our motivation, our heart, and making adjustments. And God, believe me, God will point them out in a nice, loving way. You know, God loves us, and He wants to enhance our relationship with Him. That's His desire. You know, so can't put the blame on Him if things, your relationship with the Lord and your prayer life isn't the way you want it to be. You know, God is there to give us all the insight that we need to really pray more effectively and to really know Him more. It's us, we're the problem most of the time, but that's okay. God knows that. Don't let that discourage you, though. Okay. Well, all right. So if we're consistently focused on ourselves during times with the Lord, then our attention is misplaced. We're missing out on one of the greatest blessings a soul can experience, the love and the power of being in His awesome presence. Really, to think that just the reality of that. So do we trust the Lord in working on our behalf? More stuff to think about. Are we confident He hears our petitions and is leading us in the best way possible? If not, you may be like the man in the story that we mentioned earlier, just talking to yourself. But to the person who believes God is able, who prays according to His will, and who walks in an intimate relationship with Him, Jesus says in Mark 11:24, all things for which you pray and ask, believe that you have received them, and they will be granted to you. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for your word. And Lord, I know there's an awful lot here tonight, but you know, I pray, God, that we would realize that we're just a work in progress to you, either rapture us or take us home, Lord. But I pray, God, that you would encourage us by your Holy Spirit. Help us, Lord, where our prayer lives are deficient. And Lord, show us where we're doing well. And Lord, I pray that this would be a challenge for us to just to have that self-examination and really allow you to speak into our lives in this area. And Lord, I pray that the reality of being able to spend time with you in a personal way, to be able to interact with you, to communicate with you, to have a conversation with you, the creator of the universe, help us to realize those realities, who we're speaking to, and knowing that we can trust you, and knowing that you have, you know, you're our best at, you know, on your heart and mind, Lord. And boy, that stuff really just sets us free, God. Thank you so much for all that you've done and you're doing in our lives. And we really do pray, God, that you would grow us, Lord. Grow us, just draw us closer to you, and just speak to our hearts. And Lord, help us to understand your word in a more practical way. Lord, we just want to know you in a more intimate way than we do right now. We just never want to settle for just okay. We want to just know you and get to know you more and more. So we know that's your will, so we pray, God, that it would be done in our lives as we pursue you. So thank you. Be with us, Lord, on the way home. Keep us safe. And Lord, we just continue to praise you and thank you for all things. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.